Hi, everyone. Well, like she said, I'm Tanya, and I want to start today by making a clarifying point. I have experienced trials in my life, been through things, death in our family, miscarriage, etc. But my trials are not the point of my testimony, and so I don't really talk much about them and how God has brought me through them. I know that my trials are minor compared to some of what some of you have dealt with, and I know that the truths that I hold in my heart are universal to all women, regardless of their circumstances. So with that, how did I get to stand up here today? So I've been praying for women to step forward to give their testimonies since this event planning started, probably even since last year's ended. I'm a mobilizer by nature, so I had tons of people come to mind, and I gave those suggestions out. We reached out to them. All of them were honored to be contacted, and none of them were available. So fast forward a bit to January. It's the new year. My husband and I participate in an exercise we started quite a few years ago where we think back to what God has done in our lives over just the past year. You create your testimony for what he's doing, what God's doing, without the pressure of thinking all the way back to your conversion. So I reflect instead on how God is continuing to work in my life right now. And this past year, God has worked hard on me to embrace the topic of Sabbath and rest. Having healthy rhythms and searching yourself for areas of pridefulness and self-dependency. I thought to myself, our retreat is on being rooted in love. Totally different topics. God could not be calling me to give a testimony. I'm off the hook. But God doesn't work that way. And many of you who are close with the Lord probably suspect that since he put the idea in my mind and the fact that I was grappling with it means that God had something up his sleeve. You're probably smiling or laughing at me on the inside for even thinking about being off the hook, because that's usually a prime sign that you're supposed to do it. Well, he gave me a full week. January 7th, I find myself texting our event head saying, I think God is telling me to offer to give my testimony at our retreat. So what changed in a week that made me think I should be giving my testimony? Well, Scripture says in 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Each of us as believers should be ready at all times to share our story, and some would argue that Christians should be eager to brag about what God has done so that others can come to know him too. And this was the verse that I read again on Wednesday, January 1st, when thinking about all that God has done in this past year. Then Friday night and Saturday morning of that week, I started to work on the website for this event. Rereading that this year's event is focused on Ephesians 3 and 4, I had flashbacks to my very first Bible study I was ever a part of as a college freshman and studying Ephesians. Come Sunday, I'm meeting quickly before the service with the event head and hear that yet another person we were asking to do a testimony was not available. That afternoon, I was working through material for my Sunday night Bible study with some area high school girls on David and Goliath. Coming in front of all of you to share what I'm going to share feels like I'm standing before a giant that has the ability to slay me. But God showed me it's time for me to offer to publicly share how God is working in me. And as with David, the battle, or in this case, my story, is the Lord's. So I wrote up my thoughts, shared it with some close friends, and was told that it's a good fit for today. So that's how I got here. Now let me go back and tell you a bit about my upbringing. I grew up in a Catholic home. I went to church and was a reader during the Mass. I attended Catholic Heart Work Camp, a summer trip where we did activities like writing down our sins and nailing them to the cross. I understood I was a sinner, and I also very much understood John 3:16, for God so loved the world. I was, and still am, a perfectionist and a reformer. I embedded that 4-H motto of making the best better deeply into who I am. I was over-involved. Women's madrigals, jazz band, cheerleading. Yes, I know I don't look like a cheerleader, but I did do it. 4-H, working at the local Dairy Queen, Key Club, forensics, future problem solvers, math team, the list goes on. I was busy. I hid behind the phrase, I'm doing this for. I'm doing this for a scholarship. I'm doing this to improve my resume. I'm doing this to prepare me to be a teacher someday, etc. Whether I admitted it to myself or not, I now know, looking back, that I was searching for connection and belonging. If I was busy, it didn't sting as much when I didn't have friends who invited me to a sleepover. Because the only friends I really had were the ones I met in fourth grade when I moved to a new school, and we were all the social outcasts. We didn't play sports, so we didn't fit in. And when I got to high school, our group kind of split. One went to the popular crowd, one became a druggie, one went to another school. I had friends, people who were kind, would eat lunch with me, but I didn't have the type of friends that you hung out with. 4-H gave me that because of projects and overnight trips. We're always with similar people, the same groups. But even looking back at it now, it doesn't truly fit the world's definition of a friend. I didn't have the call someone up if there's an emergency or just hang out or watch movies with type of people in my life. So senior year, I went to band camp and I met girls from Cedar Grove. They invited me to homecoming. Say what? I figured out life enough to make friends that are inviting me to activities. I was thrilled. Now you high schoolers, I know I'm gonna share a little bit about Mr. Arnson. It's totally okay to rib him about it later if you need to. So Matt is my now husband, and he was another girl's date to homecoming. We all hung out throughout the fall, bonfires, candlelight hikes at Harrington, trips to Cold Stone for ice cream. Come February, Matt came to my youth symphony concert and invited me to his church Super Bowl party. We consider that our first date. We went to prom together with the same group of people that we went to homecoming. Graduation comes and we head off to separate colleges. Matt had a best friend that I never met because he moved away when we were in early high school, but he would message me on AIM. For you teens, it's kind of like text messaging, but on slow dial-up internet. Anyway, this friend found out I didn't have a Bible and asked me what my address was. I still remember walking to the campus center, out of the campus center at St. Norbert towards Burke Hall and opening this package and just crying. I had somebody ask me if I was okay because I was crying so hard. I was just blindsided by the fact that someone would find this book, the Bible, to be so valuable that he would send me a copy. I was determined to find out more. Campus Crusade was on our campus, and I had already checked it out. Remember, I'm the perfectionist, and it was the right thing to do to join a campus ministry, so I'd already gone. And they announced that there was a girl's study on Ephesians starting, and I was one of the first people to sign up. For those of you who know me, you know that I ask a lot of questions, and I always have ideas. So this has always been a quality of mine, and boy, do I feel bad for my small group leader. It got to the point by Ephesians chapter 2 that I was told to write down all my questions so we could meet outside of group to talk about them. One night we got to chapter 3, verse 18. My Bible translation at that time said, "And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is for you." This was the first time I recognized God's love as personal. It wasn't just God so loved the world collectively. I knew that. This verse pulls out me from God's people to say that God loves me. It was this moment that I consider my conversion moment. I went from knowing about God to knowing God's heart. I spent the rest of college learning and digging into God's word. I ended up with a minor in religious studies because I couldn't stop asking questions, so I enrolled in classes. I became passionate about God and making sure everyone understood his love. At this time, my "I'm doing this for" phrase turned into "I'm doing this for God." Fast forward through the next decade of life. I get married, become a special education teacher, work as a youth leader, become a summer missionary to China, have kids, coordinate perspectives classes, switch careers to insurance, become a foster parent. Clearly, I'm still learning how to not overcommit. And yeah. I'm learning the whole busyness thing. That's what God taught me this past year. But somewhere in my journey, I learned that if I take on too much, I know that all the good things that are happening are from God, because there's no way that what I'm doing is in my own power. And you know, back to my testimony from the past year, God is revealing to me I need healthier rhythms. I need to give out of my overflow. And so my overcommitment is a sin area. Some people struggle with being comfortable and needing to be pushed to step out to create God-sized goals and visions. And to me, it's scarier to think about settling down. And it's an area I need to work on. And I believe this issue is directly related to my struggles with feeling connected and like I belong. I am constantly reminding myself that God doesn't need me. He doesn't need me to do anything for him. With God, it's all about relationship. He wants to do it with me. Psalm 73, "Nevertheless, I am continually with you." Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, I am with you." 1 Corinthians 7, "In whatever condition each was called, let him remain with God." Mark 10, "All things are possible with God." Matthew 28:10, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And even in the end of the Bible, Revelation, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man." My actions are because God sent his son and forgave me of my sin, I walk with him to do the things he calls me to do. No more, no less. Life is all about his plans and purposes. What an honor and privilege it is to be adopted into that family, that mission. And my heart attitude means everything to him. If God wants to take me to take on the world, I can do it with him. But if he wants me to be at home and investing in my kids, I need to listen to that too. And he'll be with me there. My purpose, first and foremost, is to run after God and have him be my number one desire. So moving to Cedar Grove area was and still is hard. Many women who have married in will identify as feeling like an outsider. We are recognized as the spouse of one of the main Dutch family lines. There's a tradition and unspoken rules of conduct that when you misstep, it makes you feel horrible and alone. Many women in my age group hang out with women they have known since before kindergarten. They're going to weddings almost every weekend for the last 2 years of close friends that they've been with since high school. It would be easy for me to fall into my old ways of longing for a longtime friend. I don't have a friend I've had since kindergarten, but God is faithful. Every time I have needed a friend, someone has been there, time and time again. God really, truly does love each one of us individually and cares for us. I now have a handful of people in my life that I know I can call if tragedy were to strike, and I know they got my back because we're sisters in Christ. They are prayer warriors, and we point each other back to our Creator and Sustainer. I only have them because of my obedience to slow down and join a discipleship group. If I am so busy doing good things, I have no time to build relationships with people. I also learned that my saying yes to things could be a roadblock to someone else who God has called to do that role. So I should feel no guilt or condemnation when I want to say no. If you're not walking with the Lord, I beg you to count the cost. You can continue to fight through all that life throws at you on your own, or you can find rest and peace and joy in walking through life with the Creator and Sustainer of life. There's a balance God helps us to sustain when we're having daily time with God and reading his word. He sends his Holy Spirit to convict us of sin and ways to grow. And that's hard. And yet he shows us his deep love and mercy. To use our tree imagery from the event logo and model of scripture, I needed lots of pruning to grow the way that God designed me to. Once you accept Christ into your life and decide to walk with him, there's a process, sanctification. It's not easy, and God is faithful and makes it so worth it. So my call to each of you now, remember that not everyone feels like they fit in or have a place to belong. Be the body of Christ and overcare for people. I confess, after church on Sunday, I hide behind having to care for my kids, so I don't feel awkward about not having someone to talk to. I confess I've gotten involved in church activities as a way to find connection and belonging instead of a confirmed calling from God to be a part of that ministry. Be on the lookout for others like me, hiding in plain sight, trying to find a connection. There are ladies who have lived here for quite some time or even their whole lives who have shared with me that they can relate, that they feel like an outsider sometimes and that they don't belong. This may be because women are relying on their feelings or their gut and not enough on truth. Doubt and lies not from God infiltrate our mind when we're not rooted in Scripture. But either way, we can all do more to be conscious of welcoming and loving others we come into contact with. We need to show everyone the tangible feeling of belonging that God gives to each of us. And may we all be able to share truths of Scripture to remind each other of where our true belonging stems from. Remember that God loves you just as you are. There is nothing you can do to cause God to love you more, and there's nothing you can do to cause him to love you less than he does right now. There's no such thing as a good or bad Christian. You either are one or you're not. Stop beating yourself up and walk in truth. Find healthy rhythms and balance so your yeses can be yes and your noes, noes. Let all your actions be done from an attitude of because God and with God. Lastly, I want to thank you for listening to these parts of my story. I pray it gives you comfort and hope. I started sharing that on January 1st, I looked at God and how he's worked in my life in the past year. At one time, looking back onto my loneliness in high school would have been extremely painful. Now, I just see God's hand in it. He was shaping me and guiding me the whole time. Even in my for worldly reason seasons and my for God seasons, he was true to his promises of being with me. Praise be to God. If we are in the midst of loneliness, as hard as it may be, I hope that you know that you're not alone in that feeling, and God sits with you there too. Let us close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this story that you've crafted in me and in each of us. May our stories be a blessing to each other. May our stories draw us closer to you so that we may live our lives in relationship with you, the creator of all life, and in light of all that you've done. May we be deeply rooted in your love, Lord Jesus. Amen. And without further, oh, go ahead. Sorry.